Welcome to the Marketing Minute Podcast. Now, John Pritchard, publisher of the Journal of Healthcare Contracting.
Welcome to the Marketing Minute Podcast. I'm John Pritchard, your host. I'm really excited today to have Michael Brenner, the CEO of the Marketing Insider Group, on our podcast. He is the absolute foremost expert on content marketing. We're going to be discussing his blog, Biggest Mistakes Made in Content Marketing. I think it's one of the best pieces I've read all year. He is really the one we've based our content marketing strategy on here at Share Moving Media. I think you will greatly enjoy his insight today. If you don't follow him, I would highly recommend you do. You can go to his website at marketinginsidergroup.com. So here's my conversation with Michael Brenner.
Michael, thanks for joining the podcast today.
Yeah, thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, I really enjoyed your blog, The Biggest Mistakes You're Making in Content Marketing. And that will be posted at sharemovingmedia.com in our blog section. If you want to go to Michael's site and look at the whole blog and all the other great work he does on content marketing. But I'd like to touch on just three or four of these mistakes you see made every day. I think there's three or four that, that are really prevalent by healthcare brands we can touch on today, but you actually go through 17 mistakes. I think any marketer would be wise to really pay attention to all of these, but I just want to touch on a few of them. The first one is writing for search engines and not humans. I thought the name of the game was to get as many clicks and as high a ranking as we can. How can you do both, or how do you focus on humans?
Yeah, I think the point of that one was that, we hear a lot of, agencies that call themselves SEO agencies. And, I think the whole SEO game used to be sort of this black art, people that, would stuff keywords and do all kinds of nefarious things like, link building and all kinds of stuff. And, what we really focus on is using SEO as the input to the strategy. For example, we identify the important keywords in, for a company relative to their competition, the keywords that are important to the industry, the things that suggest buyer intent. But then we hand those keywords to our writers and, we want them to write the best article they can for real people. And so I think, writing for SEO is the absolute worst thing you can do. It doesn't mean that you should ignore SEO. Again, it's, I think, super important to use the keyword analysis and, gaps and all of those kinds of competitive sort of indicators, buying intent signals to define what you write about. But the content itself should absolutely address the real people that you're talking to, the real pain points that they're going through and how you might be able to solve them.
That's sage advice. Otherwise, you're kind of getting it backwards. Another common mistake that you bring up that really hits home with me is ignoring your customers' questions and needs. I see just way too much of brands amplifying their value proposition, their differentiation, but it has nothing to do with what the customer wants. Can you expound on that one a little?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the biggest core tenets, I think, of content marketing. And I, John, you've seen me present this more than a few times, the Venn diagram I love to use of, what we think we should be saying in marketing is we're awesome, but what our audience is looking for is just answers to questions and solutions to real problems. And too much of marketing doesn't have any overlap with what audiences are really looking for. And so I think the challenge, it's almost like a personal one. Like, I feel like we need to resist that natural tendency to want to talk about ourselves. And I, I always tell people, it took me a long time to figure out that this was a natural instinct that, executives love their companies and many marketers love their brands and products that they're trying to promote, but we really need to kind of set that aside and, with empathy, try to walk, a mile in the shoes of our customers, so to speak. And to just really, write the list of questions down. What are the questions they're asking? Keyword research can help define that. Talk to your sales team. What are the questions that they're getting and answering every day? Ask your customers straight up. What challenges do you face, and what information do you wish you had that would make you, help you make a better decision? I think just having that mindset is a real challenge and a struggle for marketers, and that's why I think it's the biggest mistake. And the other thing too, John, you've heard me make this joke before is, behind every bad piece of content is an executive who asked for it. And, you know, it means that sometimes we have to really push back inside our organizations against the, you know, against the stakeholders, the sales teams, the executives that also share that natural instinct of wanting to promote and really try to suggest the customer, you know, point of view.
Yeah, it's such a hard fight internally for these organizations sometimes. You know, if they could draw back the lens and get into the head of that prospect and say, what are the 2, 3, 4 things they're Googling every day to try and make their work life better? If somehow we could get content out there that adds to that conversation, but I think so many of them think they have to solve it. But that brand and those people will get rewarded for engaging in the conversation, advancing the discussion.
That's exactly right. Yeah. It's like I said, it's a mindset shift and it's not easy to do, but it really kind of differentiates the marketing that really sticks out and works and breaks through the noise and the stuff that just looks like everything else.
Yeah. It seems like to me, that's the inflection point in content marketing where people go from curious to dabbling in it, to taking that leap of faith and said, you know what? I'm going to go all in. I'm going to understand. I'm going to try and address those questions. You know, another thing that I think holds brands back from really diving into content marketing is they think, how in the world am I going to distribute this? You know, I could have all this great content, but if they don't find it through SEO or somehow stumble across it, because I don't have their names, I don't have their email addresses. I mean, you know, some of them don't even focus enough on distribution. What advice do you give to folks that have content to actually getting it out there?
Yeah, I always like to use some data. And I think for a lot of people that maybe aren't digital marketers, you know, or have been focused on digital marketing for a while, I think some of the biggest myths out there is that social media drives a ton of traffic for brands, you know, and I know like almost every 22-year-old that comes out of college with a marketing degree wants to go manage social for a, you know, for Apple or, you know, some fun brand. But when you look at the data, and I love to show this chart, is only like 2 or 3% of the traffic on many websites comes from social. And so the things that really stick out are organic, which is, you know, 50 to 60% of the traffic that most company websites get. And then just, you know, other distribution mechanisms, and whether it's earned media or paid, is really understanding, you know, or even email. You know, it comes from the active, you know, sort of distribution of the content, and not in a real pushy way, but just in a natural way, you know, just following the mechanisms of content consumption that we all, you know, that we all understand. And so, you know, some of that is social for sure, but, you know, email is more important than people realize. It's more like 5 or 6% of the average B2B website gets their traffic from email. And then other distribution channels, you know, like PR and paid distribution represent a good, you know, 15, 20%. So, you know, the challenge I always make is, do you spend 5, you know, to 10 times as much of your effort, your budget on distributing your content as you do on your social media? Because a lot of, you know, even small companies might have a full-time resource, or they might have an agency just doing social media, but they don't have anybody focused on distributing their content. And, you know, so, or even focused on organic, which is, you know, more than that, you know, much, much, many more times than social media. So that's really the goal is, you know, and I think the best balance, John, maybe you have some other views, but I always say, you know, just think, if you think 50-50, right? 50% of your content budget should go to creating and 50% should go to distribution. And that's a, you know, generally a healthy mix. And sometimes it's even 60-40 if you're a new company, or 70-30 if you're brand new, distribution to content creation.
Yeah, those are great ratios. You know, being a trade publisher for over 20 years, literally not a day goes by where I don't have a brand come to me wanting earned media, wants us to place their content in our magazines and our online publications. And in my heart, I believe our readers getting about 30, 35% of the amount of content that they could consume if more were available. But the reason we don't take a ton of earned media from brands is it's usually never in the correct context. They might come to me with clinical efficacy tests about a drug, a therapy, a device, going to an economic buyer that wants to know the value proposition, you know, the quality, service, price, the value equation of doing business with that company. And this next item that I want you to talk about really helps those brands. There's, to your point, they're already spending 50% of their budget on content creation, but they're not putting it into necessarily the right context of the absolute alpha prospects they're chasing. And so one of your mistakes you say is not outsourcing content writing. Touch on that a little bit for me, Michael.
Yeah, there's, you know, this is always a little bit contentious. And I like one of my, I have an automated email nurture that goes out to my list. And one of the emails talks about the cost value benefit of outsourcing. And it, you know, whenever it hits a copywriter, they get pretty upset with me when they're in-house, because, you know, we make the case for the cost of outsourcing your content can be sometimes 40, 50, 60% cheaper than having an in-house copywriter. And you know, my job or goal is not to eliminate in-house copywriters, because I think many brands do need folks that can write, you know, technical, you know, specs and, you know, detailed product briefings and those kinds of things. My point is, you need writers that kind of, to what you were inferring, John, is you need writers that understand how to write for the web, how to write content that ranks, how to write content that engages, and how to write content that actually converts. And, you know, technical writers and the folks that are in it every single day aren't necessarily the ones that know how to do that. And so that's, I think, the first one is just, you know, you want somebody that really understands how to write for the web and write for the modern buyer. The other thing is, what we find is that, you know, Gartner talks about what they call validation and consensus content. Is you may think your audience is really technical and deeply educated, but they're not the problem. You need to write to the uneducated influencer of their decisions, the budget holder. You know, like I always say, imagine writing about, you know, cloud computing technology for a CFO. You'd write a very different piece of content for him or her than you would for the, you know, CIO or the, you know, chief technology officer that's implementing it. So, you know, those are the kinds of things that an external writer, an outsourced writer can really understand is how do you translate deeply complex or, you know, super B2B, you know, healthcare content into content that can really be understood by the folks that are interested or that are really looking for it. And those are, I think, three reasons, you know, so cost, success, you know, outcome, and then ultimately just point of view and perspective. Those are three good reasons, I think, to outsource.
Great. Michael Brenner, I greatly appreciate your time. Thank you for coming on today to the Marketing Minute podcast. Listeners, please go to Share Moving Media's blog and you will see a link to his full 17 mistakes folks make when they're doing content marketing. Michael, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, John.
Hey, it's John again. I just wanted to thank you for listening in today's podcast, the Marketing Minute podcast. You know, content marketing, I think, is so important, and I really see very few brands, big and small, doing it well. We would love to have a conversation with you and your content strategy, or maybe just discuss one of your content pieces, or even context to the IDN supply chain leader, or the distributor sales rep, or whoever it is you're trying to attract eyes and hearts for. We build audiences all day long, trying to help suppliers gain venue to those segments. Feel free to give me a call at 770-263-5262 or email me jpritchard@sharemovingmedia.com. Thank you.